Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here during the second week of September. Can you believe it? Last weekend was Labor Day weekend here in the States. We're back into school, most places in the world. We're going to be talking to a teacher today. Betsy's joining us to talk about her split stay at Disney's Old Key West Resort, one of my favorites, and the Polynesian Villas. So check that out. Coming up next, first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Speaking of teachers, teachers want you to read. Reading makes you smart, and reading takes you places you've never been. And that's right, if you need a little Disney in your life, go to thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books by author Jeff Barnes. He's going to show you around Disneyland and how that came to be, with Walt Disney himself turning his dreams into a three-dimensional reality for all of us to experience, and also how Walt got so much out of those around him. Also, you have the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focusing on Walt Disney World as well. It's going to be inspirational, fun, and, of course, it's a great escape for the Disney fan in your life, and it's probably you. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of a couple of those Fantasyland floats that are brand new in lime green back in Fantasyland, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1379 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, who else is going to be from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you are having a nice transition here from summer to fall. We're kind of in between here and back to school, and we're gonna have some fun with back to school, because we're talking to a teacher today. And, you know, I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm standing back. I didn't set up a classroom. I didn't get my grade book ready. I definitely didn't go through days and days of professional development this year, which, thank goodness, I didn't have to do that. But we're talking to a real teacher up in Baltimore, Maryland. Betsy's joining us today. Betsy, welcome back to school.
Thank you. Ready for a great school year.
And as we're recording right now, because we're recording this one just a little bit early, when it comes out, it's going to be done a little bit early. And you are actually in the middle of setting up your classroom and getting ready for a great school year. So what do you teach?
I teach middle school Spanish.
God bless you. Middle school kids are they're a strange bunch, but they're good. Actually, I love that age. I taught sixth grade for years and it was fun, but I mean, it takes a certain kind of person.
Yes. I mean, you never know what to expect day to day, but we kind of have them in a sweet spot. They still, you know, like us, and they like to come to school generally. So I like them.
Very good. I took 5 years of Spanish myself, 8th grade through 12th grade, and I really, really enjoyed it. But I all it does is help me order better at Las Fuentes in Missouri. I'm sorry. I don't use it too much unless I'm on a cruise, maybe. But I'm glad I took it. It was a fun subject.
I mean, that's important. I tell my kids the most important unit of the year is when we talk about food, because no matter where they are, they're going to have to eat.
That's right. All right. Well, speaking of eating, we're going to talk about some good restaurants here today. And we're going to talk about two trips that you took recently down to Walt Disney World. We know it is September. I noticed you were down at Walt Disney World last September on a couples only trip, which You had your three and a half year old son. You left the baby at home, right?
You left the baby at home. Yeah. The trip was kind of born out of like postpartum, like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to see my son again. And so we kind of planned this as something special for the three of us to do and leave the baby at home.
Okay. So walk us through that, because we're going to talk about this recent June trip, you know, for the majority of the show. But last September, what was it like? Where did you stay? And, you know, the highlights from that trip.
Yeah, so we did a split stay. We did our first night at Old Key West, which is one of our absolute favorite places to stay. But then we moved over to the Polynesian for the rest of the trip, and that was the first time we had ever stayed there. So that was really, really great. I had never thought I would stay at the Polynesian, but it was a great place to be.
So both resorts there, kind of with that island feel, of course, you know, Southern Florida, the Florida Keys with Old Key West, and then, you know, the Polynesian, and you got the Pacific kind of vibe to it. But I mean, definitely put you in that relaxed state of mind, vacation for sure.
Yes, we definitely felt that. And we were, you know, lucky to be there a few weeks after the hurricane. So, you know, it really felt like the tropics. But we were, you know, luckily we weren't there for the throes of Irma.
Betsy, you did not just say that word with an H out loud. That was oh man, so many of us struggled through last September. We're just hoping it's calm this year. Hopefully, who knows by the time this show airs. But yeah, let's hope that it's just sunny and blue skies all through the fall this year. So you mentioned Old Key West is one of your favorites, and we're going to talk about your trip in June where you guys stay there the entire time. I'm also a huge fan of Old Key West. It feels very different than the rest of the Walt Disney World resorts. What is it for you?
It does. And I never stayed. I've been going to, you know, I'm in my 30s. I've been going to Disney World since I was born. And I had never stayed at Old Key West until about 4 years ago. And I was like, what have I been missing? It was, you know, it was just so relaxed. It felt like a true, I'm like you, like I like to take that mid-afternoon break every day. And it really felt like a break. It felt like a vacation in the tropics, like you said. I like Olivia's. I like the pool. Honestly, like I've had really good luck with the buses there. I don't know if I've just gotten lucky, but I find the transportation, you know, you're really close to the Magic Kingdom in Epcot. We like the boat to Disney Springs. And now that we started bringing our kids, the space in those rooms is really invaluable.
Yeah, those rooms are huge. And, you know, I will say one thing about Old Key West that it never crossed my radar for years, kind of like you, for years and years and years. Right. I would stick to the more typical, you know, like in your, I just stayed away from the villas for some reason, because I guess I had in my mind they're DVC. I'm not going to mess with those. I'm just going to stay at like the moderates, the values. And I was fine with that. But what I found when I stayed at Old Key West was that it's almost kind of a misnomer where, you know, it's Old Key West Resort, but really when you're in there, when you're staying there, it feels like you're part of like Old Key West community rather than resort. Did you get that feel too?
I did. I felt like it felt like home. Like it felt like people lived there. I don't know. I can't really describe it. It had a sort of.
You're fine. You're fine. No, this is awesome. This is awesome. See, this is a real teacher proved it right there. The old intercom coming on.
Yes. It felt like a neighborhood. It just felt comfortable. It felt like a family. I don't know. I really got a good vibe from it, but at the same time, it felt like I was really on vacation, not just. Most of my other trips were before this were, you know, at Pop Century where I was, you know, really just using the room to sleep and shower. And this felt like a place I really wanted to be at more.
Yeah, it's like a little home. It really is. I mean, they, you know, I don't think Disney really uses this term as much anymore. The home away from home, you know, accommodations. But that's really what it is, because it feels like, oh, we got room to spread out. So you guys were down there in September. So walk me through what it was like being there in September, because it's a lot different than June. And how did you guys get to go down in September, by the way? Because your husband's also a teacher.
He's a teacher. We had a long weekend. We had 2 days off around Rosh Hashanah. So we left on a Thursday and came back on a Monday, and we didn't have to miss any school.
There you go.
We missed one day. We missed Monday.
We won't tell your principal.
So. Yeah, yeah. It was a professional development day for me, so I think only my husband had to take off.
Cool. So definitely a different feel when you go down in the fall. What were some of the highlights?
Yeah, so we, it was, you know, it's definitely... There's definitely not as many people in the parks in the fall as there are. You know, we're teachers, we're used to going spring break, or we're kind of squeezing in a long weekend when we can. So it was, there definitely felt like there were fewer people in the parks.
Can you please call the front office?
One more. the one thing that, you know, after going in June, this was our first time going in June this past summer. My husband and I decided we really prefer that to the fall, only because, you know, our kids are really little. They're not staying awake for parties or anything like that. We've gone for long weekends in September the past few years, and we just started getting so frustrated with, you know, the Magic Kingdom was constantly closing early for parties, or once they moved Food and Wine to September, you know, there's like no elbow room in Epcot on the weekends. So So those were some of the things we didn't like about going in September, but we did like, you know, the lower crowds, and it was really easy kind of to go on any ride we wanted to. The buses weren't crowded. The pool wasn't crowded. So those were things we really liked about September.
So let me ask you this, because I think this is kind of unique with this trip, is that, you know, you took your, and I like this idea of taking, you know, the 3.5-year-old son with you, really focusing the trip on, you know, letting him really have the experience, you know, not have to kind of contend with the new baby in the family. But is that a tough thing to do, to bring one kid and leave one kid at home?
So it was, again, when I planned this trip in my head, I was, you know, panicking I would never see my son again. But as the trip got closer, you know, my daughter was 7 months old when we went. So I was a little bit sad that we weren't taking her before the trip started. But as soon as we were on the airplane and we just had one child to deal with, and, you know, in the hotel and on the buses, and we could go on any ride he wanted to go on, as soon as we got into the Disney bubble, I was fine. And, you know, we saw her a few days later.
That's it. That's only a long weekend. It wasn't 2 weeks like
right, we got. Right. So, but it definitely made us excited to take her with us, you know, for the next trip.
Absolutely. So before we get off this trip, one last thing. Now, for folks going down this September, because I know we've got a lot of folks traveling down this fall, what advice would you give them? You gave some good, you know, tips about the Magic Kingdom closing early for Halloween parties. You got more crowds at Epcot because of food and wine. But what else did you learn that might help somebody that's traveling here in the next few weeks, next few months?
My biggest tip for going, if you're bringing small children and you're not going for food and wine to experience food and wine, it would just be to avoid Epcot on a Saturday at all costs. We learned that the year before in September, and this year we, you know, avoided Epcot entirely on Saturday, and that, you know, the food and wine crowds don't seem to be as bad on Sundays as they are on Saturdays. So that was probably my biggest thing, that and get the park hopper, so that you can go to the Magic Kingdom on a party morning and then go somewhere else in a party afternoon, because the park's pretty empty on those party mornings.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. So let's hop into your recent June trip. You guys stayed at Old Key West the entire time there, and you mentioned you stayed in a one bedroom. So that worked out well for having, you know, yourself and your husband and the two kids. You had enough space. You got spread out. Everything worked well.
We did. I mean, we booked that room for two reasons. One, because, you know, when you're bringing a one-year-old and a four-year-old, and your kids are napping, you know, you want to be able to close them off in a room while they're napping so that everybody doesn't have to kind of tiptoe around. And then I knew this would happen
as we
were getting closer to the trip. I don't know if you can hear me.
You're fine. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. So as the trip got closer, my mom decided, oh, I think I'll come. And then my sister decided, oh, I think I'll come too. So we ended up being a group of, you know, five people who count in a hotel room, and then the baby. So it was really nice to have all that extra space because we had six people. So.
Wow. You know, you were lucky in that instance. By the way, when I used to work at my school, I was one that would always get on the intercom myself. I'd go into the office and I'd make random announcements to the entire school. So I can relate to the old thing. I basically did a podcast for my staff all the time, and some of them loved my shows and some of them were like, would you fire that guy? So anyway,
I'm sure.
I miss the old intercom button.
I avoid the intercom at all costs. I never want to be on the intercom.
I was always on it. We did a show called, actually, we had a TV show eventually. We turned the intercom into a TV show at all the classrooms called Wedgwood TV. But that was another thing. That was back in the day. So anyway, so you're down there at Old Key West. You're there in June. So you mentioned you guys in on the East Coast. You guys get out a lot later than us in the Midwest. You know, we're always out before Memorial Day. You guys can go into June. So do you guys head down right after school's out?
Absolutely. So my husband and I mean, it's like I said, he's a teacher. We've, you know, it's kind of been a tradition ever since we were, you know, together. We would plan a trip and leave to go somewhere as literally the day after we get out of school. And, you know, before kids, that might mean like heading out west for a few weeks or, you know, doing something like that. So, but now that we have two little kids, we're going to do Disney right after school gets out, which is fine by me. So we finished school on Friday, June 15th, and got in the car on Saturday, June 16th to head down.
Nice. So let's just verify this for all of our kids listening. We do have a lot of kids that tune in with their families, and I love that. So shout out to all the kids today. But we can both verify this. Teachers look forward to summer break a lot more than the students in many cases.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Every time we have a snow day, I cringe because it means one more day before summer vacation.
See, now the thing was, I love snow days because I'm like, I could, like, come January, I could care less about what's going to happen in May when they try to tack that day on. I'm like, yes, I get off on a random Wednesday. Yes. So, yeah, I was a big fan of it.
That's how everyone else is. My students know that if we've had a snow day, I am so grouchy about it because I know it's one more day until summer can start.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right. So you guys mentioned you drove all the way down from Baltimore down the East Coast, and you're there with, you know, two young kids. So was it National Lampoon's Vacation? Was it Paradise, or was it somewhere in between?
It was somewhere in between. We did stop. I have a sister who lives in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So we stopped at her house for a couple days and did some things around there and then made the trip from Chapel Hill to Orlando. Is not a bad drive. And my kids are very good travelers. They've been traveling since they were infants. So it really wasn't bad.
So I will say, too, that, you know, staying at Old Key West, having a car is a huge benefit. Now, we used Uber a lot, which is kind of a... It's a fill-in if you don't have your own vehicle. If you don't rent one or drive yourself, you know, we'd have Uber come pick us up at our actual villa instead of having to, you know, maybe like one time it was just pouring and we were in the very back of Old Key West and we'd had to get, you know, soaked just to get to Olivia's or anywhere we wanted to go have dinner. And so Uber came and picked us up at our villa. But I would say, do you agree? You guys had your van there. So that was something that, because Old Key West, if you've never stayed there, it's very spread out and it's not easy to get around like in a pouring rain.
It is. We got really lucky and we had a villa in building 64, which I don't know if you're familiar with Old Key West, but it's very close to the hospitality house. So we only used our van one time, but we did use Uber a couple of times in the evenings. If we wanted to go, you know, to Epcot once the kids were in bed, we did use Uber then because we didn't want to drive the minivan to Epcot at, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, good tip. So walk us through some of the highlights of this trip. You're down there in June. You know, the East Coast is starting to get out of school. The crowds are building. But you know what? I always say there's like an energy to that. I like going in the busy times of year. It just seems like more's going on. And it's just, you know, Walt Disney World, it's just got a feel to it when there's more people there. I know you wait longer in lines sometimes, but if you're smart, you don't. So what'd you think?
I agree. My husband and I talked about this, you know, a lot. You know, do we prefer the long weekend in the fall or do we prefer going down for, you know, the time in June? And we both said, oh my gosh, this time in June has been so much better than a long weekend in the fall. We didn't think it was any more crowded than it was in September. And maybe it's just because they're running everything at a higher capacity in the summer. But we really liked being there in the summer. Like you said, we thought everybody was excited. The energy was high. Everybody's on summer vacation. We didn't have to rush back from the trip and go right back to work. We really liked being there in the summer. So we're already planning on going next summer.
Good stuff. We'll be there next June, too, because we have the cruise the end of June. So we'll probably be there before and after for a few days. So hopefully we're in India.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So walk us through some of the highlights. You know, you got the two little kids. You guys are, you know, Disney veterans staying at Old Key West. You know, what do you recall now a few months removed from the trip?
So some of our highlights definitely were, you know, being in that one bedroom villa at Old Key West is just awesome. We enjoy that every time we're there. I always keep track of, you know, what are the first, even though we've been so many times, there's always some things that we've done for the first time. But since we were staying at Old Key West, we like to kind of do what's in our area. So after the kids went to bed each night, because my kids go to bed early, the adults would kind of take turns going to Disney Springs or going to Epcot. So we hit Disney Springs three times on this trip. And I could probably count on one hand the times that I had been to Downtown Disney in the past, you know, decade. But we went to Jock Lindsey's for the first time. We went to Raglan Road for the first time. We went to the Boathouse for the first time. And those were all great. And as you know, the boat ride from Old Key West to Disney Springs is really fun just in and of itself. So that was, Disney Springs was definitely a highlight. Like Downtown Disney was essentially like dead to me. I didn't like it at all when it was kind of when it was almost in its ending. But Disney Springs just felt like it had a great energy. I liked all the places we went. So kind of, you know, that was my first time being in the reimagined Disney Springs, and I really enjoyed it.
And I will say, you know, that's, you know, don't discount that boat transportation from Old Key West, French Quarter, and Riverside. You know, I think that when you're looking at your resort and your place to hang your hat for your next Walt Disney World vacation, that's going to be something that's way down, maybe 17th or 18th on the list as far as like, okay, why do I want to stay where I want to stay? But I'm telling you that just like you said, there is so much entertainment now, not just shopping. You know, I know shopping's an essential part in dining, but there's actual like live entertainment, food trucks, snack opportunities. It's got an energy to itself down at Disney Springs now, but really it's a plus when you can just take a boat to and from. You don't have to worry about the parking garages or anything like that. That is a huge selling point for me too.
Yeah, and the one thing we noticed was that, so the boat going to Disney Springs, we loved. That was great. Because I think Disney Springs is so much more popular now, I feel like they're going to have to kind of amp up those boats. There was always a huge line for those boats leaving Disney Springs. So we ended up taking the bus back one night, and that was really easy, too. I remember the bus situation at Downtown Disney used to be, you know, kind of a hassle. But the bus stops are great. The bus came quickly. Everything, they just really did it right with Disney Springs. I was very impressed.
That's a good point, because I do remember one night we got there later. We got there at about 7:30 and got off the boat. And you're right. We saw the line. We're like, whoa, everybody getting back on the boat.
Way up that boat dock.
Yes. So. That's right. That's right. That's so true, because I remember seeing that. I was like, whoa, I'm glad we got. But the thing was, they were running a lot of boats. But, I mean, those boats don't hold very many people. Those little pontoons.
No.
Yeah. So you're right. I think we might have taken the bus ourselves that night. But, yeah, it's great. It's a great boat ride. It's almost like a ride. You know, it's like the monorail to me. It's like an attraction in itself. So I love seeing the tree houses and so forth. So what other stuff do you guys do in the parks?
So it was my first time in Pandora, and my sister and one of my sisters came with me, and you know, none of the kids were tall enough for Flight of Passage. My husband gets really motion sick. He can barely handle Soarin. So my sister and I really wanted to do the Flight of Passage. So one morning, the two of us got up at, you know, 6. We drove the minivan into the Animal Kingdom at about 6:30, and we were some of the first people in there and got to do Flight of Passage first thing. And that was probably the best ride I've ever been on. I was really blown away by that.
So you guys were actually one of the, like, kind of in the front of the crowd at like 6:30. Because, you know, you always hear like people getting there saying, oh, I got up way early and I was still so far back. You know, I was there way before park opening. So you got there, you were towards the front of the crowd. So you were really one of those folks that kind of just got in and basically walked right on the attraction.
Yes, we were the first people in the animal, in the walking up to this. The bag check lines hadn't even opened yet. We were the first people there, so that was it was nice, because I don't mind rope drop if I'm towards the front of the pack. I don't mind people, you know, running past me. I don't like being kind of stuck in the middle of it. So, you know, we got up early and we were first, and the ride did not disappoint. It made for a really nice morning, because we were on and off it pretty quickly. Then we could kind of take our time. You know, we got some coffee. We went on Everest a few times. And then the rest of the family met us at the Navi River Journey, because the kids could go on that too. So they met us there for like our first fast pass. And it was great. It was, if you can get up at, I think we pulled into the parking lot around 6:30 for an 8 a.m. opening. And we were the first people there.
But that's a way to do it, because like you said, you just had, because you invested that time. Now you got to be a morning person, really, kind of, which I am.
Yeah, so we are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with that, because I feel like that's time well invested, even though some people are like, oh, well, you wasted between 6:30 and 8. Well, I really wouldn't be doing much there. And plus, like you said, you got to go on the prime, you know, attraction at Walt Disney World right now, the biggest wait time. And then once you did that, you know, it was like cake. You know, you're still ahead of the crowd for Everest. You're going to be able to have your coffee and a cool environment. I mean, really, it makes the rest of the day, like, your mindset's just like, whew, okay, we're ahead of the game already. And, it, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was great. If you can do it, that's a great time to to enjoy the Animal Kingdom. And, you know, my sister and I didn't mind sitting out there for an hour. You know, it's rare that we get to hang out and catch up without my kids, you know, hanging on us or, you know, making noise. So it was kind of a nice hour spent.
It is. I mean, that's how you got to embrace things like that. You know, it's the people you're around and the fun you're having. So when the family joined you, how'd the rest of the day go?
That was good. You know, the kids, the kids enjoyed Navi River Journey. We took the kids to, this was the kids' first time, both kids' first time at the Animal Kingdom. It was my daughter's first time at everything. But my son, you know, he's been to Disney 4 times at this point, but we've never taken him to Animal Kingdom. So this was his first time there. And we did, you know, the Lion King show is always good. We did the safari. We took my son on Kali River Rapids. And then it was hot. The one thing we did learn about summer in Disney was that we also decided that next summer, maybe the Animal Kingdom will be a nighttime only park for us.
Correct.
Just with the you know, I can handle the heat, but it's different when you're juggling two kids and strollers and someone who wants to be held or changed. And so we decided next summer we'll save the animal kingdom for that like post rain shower hour when the sun isn't so hot and it's a little later in the day.
That's a number one pro tip right there. I can tell you, verified. Yes, it's it's so hot in the summertime there. It is. I mean, my wife, and I still say this, I know everybody uses this term, but I swear she coined this back when Everest was getting built. We were over there in Asia, and all the structure was going up, and like I almost fell out because of the heat. And my daughter's best friend Molly, who was with us that trip, this was when Paige was seven. This was a long time ago. She almost passed out from the heat. And she's like, "This place just like it's got its own kind of heat. It's Animal Kingdom hot." So it's so true, especially in the summer. And I think that's, you know, if you go early in the morning and get out by noon, or not, just go back when it's dark. You know, especially with Pandora now because it's so beautiful at night. You know, that's a great reason to be there. And you got the nighttime activities. You know, Rivers of Light. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But you got the Awakening on the Tree of Life, which is a lot of fun too.
Yeah, so we decided next summer Animal Kingdom will be exclusively an evening visit for us.
That's a good call. So what about the other parks? What were some highlights?
So I would say there's, you know, another, this is something kind of crazy that happened, and it was definitely, it ended up being a highlight. I mentioned that we've always had good luck in the past with the buses at Old Key West, and that still rings true. However, you know, with the children, I had kind of in my planning, you know, we're going in summer, I want to minimize walking. So we had planned out to spend two mornings in the Magic Kingdom, one of which we would go left and do Adventureland and Frontierland at Rope Drop, the other of which we would kind of go right and tackle Fantasyland. And that strategy actually was great. The morning that we went left and did Adventureland and Frontierland was wonderful. Not much walking, no lines. That strategy was awesome. Now, the morning that we were planning on doing Fantasyland was extra magic hours at the Magic Kingdom. And we walked, you know, the park opened at 8:00. We headed out to the Old Key West bus stop around 6:45, just because I'm like you, if I'm not 15 minutes early, then I feel like I'm an hour late.
Yes.
So, you know, we headed out, we were at that bus stop at 6:45, which, you know, thought would be enough time to get to the park by 8:00, but no bus came, and the screen kept changing, you know, from 7:00 to 7:15, then 7:30, then 7:45. And by 7:30, there was a pretty big crowd at the bus stop and people were starting to get kind of mad. You know, my kids were starting to get kind of antsy. So at 7:45, a cast member from the front desk came out and he started taking people's room numbers and asking how many people were in each room. And he said that we would have fast passes loaded onto our My Disney Experience account later that day. Cause, you know, we missed extra magic hours. I'd say we got to the Magic Kingdom by 8:45 that morning, at which point it was, you know, a total madhouse. But when I checked the app, we had 18 bonus fast passes. They gave three for every person in our party. So even for my daughter who was non-ticketed, so we had 18 bonus fast passes plus the three that, you know, we had made in advance. So that was a crazy day where we had essentially for our group of five ticketed riders, we had, you know, like 34 fast passes to use. And that was a really crazy but really fun day at the Magic Kingdom. And it was kind of my first experience with any sort of like guest recovery at Disney, but that was really awesome.
Man, you know, but hearing that though, that is the exact right thing to do. You know, be proactive on it. Don't make the guests come and beg and plead and say, you know, the bus wasn't there. I mean, they know that the bus isn't there. And I mean, I'm sure it's not something, I don't know what happened, but I mean, it's not right. You know, they need to fix that. But I love that they were proactive out there. And, you know, they turned a situation where I think that it could have been very frustrating because you've given up that morning, getting up very early, getting the kids out. I mean, that's not an easy task. And you would have missed it. You know what I'm saying? But you basically got that extra magic hour back plus many times over, I'd guess, with those fast passes.
Oh my gosh, it was awesome. My son went on Mine Train like three times in a row. We did Splash Mountain a bunch of times. That was, it was really, really great. And then when we got back to the room for our afternoon break, there was a huge bag full of treats from the gift shop and stuffed animals and all sorts of stuff. And there was a note that said, you know, please enjoy the rest of your stay. You know, we're sorry for any, I don't remember exactly what the note said, but I don't know. Someone who was waiting at that bus stop must have either really complained or I don't know. I mean, the size of this gift basket that we received in our room was unbelievable, plus the fast passes. So I don't know. I mean, for some, we had something very small not go our way, but Disney really, and we didn't even complain. So it's, I don't know what happened, but their guest recovery was excellent.
That's good to hear, because they want to keep, especially guests like you guys, you guys are frequent travelers and passionate about the product. Everybody around you knows you're like the big Disney fan. And I mean, this can go two ways. Disney knows that. You can talk about this, the story that you just shared, or man, that bus didn't come. I wasted my whole morning. We got behind and then it ruined our trip, So it's good right. to hear that happened that way, because it doesn't cost them that much. It's experiences and gifts, So glad to hear that. So what about, do you guys have any good meals during this trip? I love talking, you mentioned Olivia's earlier, but any other good meals during the trip?
So with the kids, in the afternoon break, one of the things that we've learned is that if we go back after our break around 4 o'clock and the kids are kind of ready for bed by 7:30, 8 o'clock, we usually just kind of feed the kids in the room when we get back, and then we take turns going out to dinner. So we had some really good food at Raglan Road, which I had never been there before. And we also had some really good food at the Boathouse. So both of those places, we just kind of, and we didn't have ADRs, traveling with the kids, we don't usually make many ADRs just because we don't know where the day is going to take us. But without ADRs, we had no problem walking up to the bar at both the Boathouse and Raglan Road and having a full meal. So another pro tip is even the only ADR we had before this trip was a breakfast at Crystal Palace. And we still had a lot of really good meals that we either just kind of made the ADR on the fly or just kind of sat at the bar. And we had no trouble doing that.
And this was in June. I mean, this wasn't the September trip, because I know a lot of folks get frustrated with, I want to do a last minute trip. There's a room there. I can get a great deal on a flight. Maybe you have tickets, maybe you don't. But I think a lot of people get scared away because, in Disney's conditioned us to make our ADRs at 180 days, which puts you in the best possible situation if you can do that. But it is possible to have a lot of very unique, very good meals, even without ADRs. I mean, it's like heresy to say that on a Disney podcast, but it is true.
I know. And quite honestly, same thing with fast passes. The fast passes that I really got up at, 7 a.m., 60 days in advance to make, we didn't end up using. Those were some of the ones we ended up having to change just because the kids weren't ready for it or it was nap time. And we were able to do a lot of great things last minute. So that taught me, as I'm a super planner, I would never hesitate to plan a last minute trip, only because, in June with a party of 5 or 6, depending on if it's a meal or a fast pass, we had no problem making ADRs on the fly. It rained at Epcot when we were at Epcot around 10:30, and we were going to have lunch outside at Mexico. And at 10:30, when it was pouring, we said, well, let's see if we can eat inside at Mexico. At 10:30, I got an 11:30 reservation for San Angel Inn. So for, 6 people. So that was, not a problem.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are scared to, or just don't know better, as far as just asking at the hostess stand, because the worst they can say is no, but they want to accommodate the guests. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that I kind of had to learn in my, my history of going to Walt Disney World, is that bottom line, Disney wants to accommodate their guests. And I think that you saw that time and time again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, that was definitely a big thing I learned from this trip, that, and, it's still possible to do Disney, on the fly. Like I said, a lot of your advanced plans, like I said, I planned for months to do the left side of Magic Kingdom one day, the right side of Magic Kingdom the next. And it certainly didn't pan out, exactly how I planned it. And we still had a great time.
That's a great plan of attack, though, especially when you go like over to Adventureland first, because I shouldn't say nobody, but most people head towards like Tomorrowland and Fantasyland, almost every day.
Right. So we hopped on, we did Jungle Cruise, Magic Carpets, Pirates, and just kind of walked on all 3 of those. And you're right, there wasn't really a lot of other people with us. So that was a really good strategy. Again, especially, I just traveled differently with the kids than I did before I had kids. And with the kids, my goals are, minimize a lot of the crisscrossing of the park and, keep them in the air conditioning when I can. And don't plan too many meals that are, where you have to put your credit card in, because you just never know. You have to be a lot more flexible.
That's so true. All you couples listening without kids, your time will come. It'll change. Trust me. I'm not going to change. Yes, you will. I'm just telling you, it happens. So before we get out of here, you had the younger kids. So what were some of their, what would you say, like, as far as attractions or just overall experiences, what did they enjoy the most when you're looking back at this?
So this was the first trip that my son was 40 inches tall. So he, you know, and he had been, you know, looking at pictures and videos and for a while, and was really excited to try like Splash Mountain and Big Thunder and Test Track. So for him, it was definitely a highlight to try those bigger rides for the first time, because he's fearless. My daughter, you know, she's 18 months old. Her favorite thing was definitely the characters and the, gift shops at the end of the rides. I think she enjoyed the stuffed animals as much as she did the actual characters. So those were highlights for her. Another thing we did for the first time that I never did without my kids was I'm a Disney Visa credit card holder, like I'm sure a lot of people who listen to the show are. We did the Disney Visa meet and greet at Epcot. And that was awesome. It was Minnie Mouse and Pluto. It's over by Journey into Imagination. And we were the only people there. My kids could, you know, essentially played with Pluto and Minnie for a solid 5 minutes before we kind of made them leave. But it was the best meet and greet I've been to ever, because we had the space, we had the time, no one was hurrying us, and we got the pictures to our My Disney Experience account that, you know, even though we didn't have photo pass, because those were the Disney Visa meet and greet pictures, we could download those for free to our phones. So that was if you have kids, if you have the Disney Visa card, that meet and greet was really fun for all of us.
Yeah, Disney doesn't give out much for free, but that is one of the great, because it's not only the picture, which, you know, you can print the pictures and they're right there, even if you don't have, like you said, Memory Maker. The thing is that it's the time, and I've heard this time and time again, and we did this, I haven't done this for years, and I am a Disney Visa card holder, but like we did it, oh my gosh, this was still back when they still had like Where's the Fire and all that stuff and Inventions, and you know, it just doesn't cross my mind, but it was never, ever busy. You know, it was like, it was because it was so hidden away. And I had that same experience. Like, we got to hang out as long as we wanted with the characters. I mean, when do you get to do that? You know, that's cool.
I know. Yeah. My kids are still talking about it. It was really, really a great, it was one of those, you know, magical brochure moments where my kids were literally dancing with the characters, and it was really fun. So if you have kids or don't and just like meet and greets, that was a great one.
And it's kind of cool that your daughter likes the stuffed animals better than the real characters, because at least you could take those home. You know, Disney doesn't want you taking the other characters home with you.
Exactly. So she only came home with one. They're pretty pricey, but yes. My mom got her alone one evening, and so we came home with a Dumbo, which is fine.
Yeah, that's what grandparents are for. They get the stuff that you're like, oh, you don't need that, you know, and then boom, oh, they have it. You know, it's crazy.
Exactly. We were all riding Space Mountain one night, and my mom texted us a picture of her and my daughter on the bus with this giant Dumbo, and my mom said, look what's coming home with us, and we said, okay.
Yay. Well, you had a minivan, so at least there's that, you know.
Yeah, we had plenty of space, so fine. But it was really, you know, when I was a childless adult, I remember thinking, ugh, I just want to go to Disney as much as I can before I have kids, because they're going to ruin it. And now I've had my kids, and now I can't imagine going without them, because they do enjoy it so much. And it's a completely different experience, you know, enjoying it through their eyes and sharing with them something that I love so much and that I've been doing since I was their age. So as a pre-child adult, I was really worried it would be no fun, but in fact, it's more fun. So.
Yeah. You know, as Disney says, that, you know, they always plus things. And I think having kids pluses your Disney vacation, it definitely changes it. And it's a lot more exciting. It's really interesting for me because, you know, I've been taking Paige since she was, you know, like the first time she went, she was 4. The first time we went together, she was 7. And we've gone just like, you know, annually since then. And now she's an adult, you know, so it's so weird, you know, like she's having a drink in France, you know, like what is up with that? That is so weird, you know? So yeah, it comes full circle, but it is. I mean, it's really, you know, Walt Disney World's there for kind of every stage of life, which I really enjoy.
It is. And like I said, you know, we're at this point in our lives, we're looking for a fun trip to do. And I mean, in general, what's more fun than Walt Disney World? But it's a fantastic trip to take with anyone from 1 to, you know, 91. It really is. It's, you know, I totally drinking the Kool-Aid with exactly what Disney wants me to think. But it was really, really a wonderful trip.
I'm so glad to hear. Betsy, thanks so much for taking some time out of setting up your classroom. Hey, best wishes to your students and yourself during this upcoming school year. And go Orioles. I know it's a tough year out in Baltimore, but they'll be back sooner than later. But thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you. It was fun.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. Betsy knows they're in English. They're not in Spanish, but they're in English. But every teacher says read more. That takes you places you've never been. So go to Disneyland. Go to Walt Disney World. You got Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the newer book focusing on Walt Disney World, and the original, The Wisdom of Walt. So check them out by author Jeff Barnes. They're available in all different kinds of versions. You get the ebook, you can get the audio version, the hard copy, the softback, all that stuff over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't stand in lines. That's the last thing you want to do. You got to stand in line in school, but you don't want to stand in lines at your Disney destination. So just drop by touringplans.com. They'll give you all the information you need for about the cost of a couple of cupcakes. You're getting 365 days of great information that can shave up to 4 hours in line each day of your vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And don't forget, back to school. I know most people are back in by now, but hey, if you still need some school supplies or anything else, and you're going to Amazon, just use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for that. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Drop by there today. And yeah, that's about it. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for kicking off another week with us. And to all of our students, and I know we have a lot of teachers out there in the audience, I wish you guys the best school year ever. You know, it's a fresh start. That's a great thing about education. Every fall, you got a fresh start. You can get those straight A's. And teachers enjoy those students and teach them up. So for Betsy, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.